The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Touching Lives.
And when we die, here's the question. Did we do God's will or our will? Did I do with my life what I wanted to do with my life, or did I do with my life what God wanted me to do with my life? Did I really finish what He wanted me to do, or what I wanted to do, or what He wanted me to do? See, God's will for us is to do His will until our last will is read.
Teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need Him. This is Touching Lives with James Merritt.
There are certain days in life that you just never forget. Now, I'll tell you one day in particular I will never forget. It literally is like it happened yesterday, and it happened, gosh, almost 40 years ago. It was a May morning, midnight, a little after midnight, in a little small house in a little rural community called Buck Grove, Kentucky. Teresa had already gone to bed, and I was sitting doing something that for 3 years had consumed my life. For 3 years, I had been researching and studying and collecting material and working on and living and eating and breathing and sleeping with a document called a dissertation. After 3 years, I finally could see this light at the end of a tunnel, and it wasn't a train coming my way. I said, man, I'm about to finish. I had renewed vigor. I had renewed energy. And I can still remember, I'm telling you like it happened last night. I can still remember writing that last word and putting that last dot at the last sentence. I threw my pen down, pushed away from the desk, raised my hands, looked up to heaven, and said one word that was the sweetest word I'd said to myself in 3 years. Finished. Done. Now, when I said finished, it really didn't change the world. When I said finished, it didn't make the newspapers. When I said finished, it didn't get on the evening news. As a matter of fact, if I had not finished my dissertation, it wouldn't have changed anything for anybody except maybe me. And if I had never finished that dissertation, nobody except maybe for me and my sweet wife would have ever noticed. But 3 years ago, 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus. He was hanging on a cross outside of Jerusalem. He said one word in the Greek language, three words in English, and it changed everything. That one word has the potential to change everybody. That one word in the Greek language radically changed my life. That one word in the Greek language radically changed the life of my dad. If you're a guest of ours today, we're in a series that we're calling the bucket list, because everybody has a bucket list. If I were to say to you, hey, I just found out that in the next year you're going to die, there would be a lot of things that would come to your mind right now. There are things you want to do you've not gotten to do. There are things you want to see you've never gotten to see. There are people you want to meet you've never gotten to meet. There are things you want to experience you've never gotten to experience. And there are certain things, we all have them, we know what they are. We've all said it at some time or another to someone, hey, before I die, I want to do this. Before I die, I want to go there. Before I die, I want to see this. Now, there are a lot of things we may want to accomplish before we die. But there are seven things we better accomplish before we die. As a matter of fact, these seven things you better make sure you accomplish before you die, or you're not ready to die. Now, I didn't come up with these on my own. I didn't pull them out of thin air. I didn't get them off a website. Didn't hear them from another pastor. They actually come from Jesus. They were on the bucket list of Jesus. And they actually come from the seven last things He said in the last 6 hours of His life. He said, there are seven things I'm going to make sure as the Son of God that I check off my list before I check out of this life. And one of the things we better be able to make sure we've done and can do before we die, we better be able to say mission accomplished. We better be able to say finished. Now let me tell you, before we read these words and where we're going to find them, let me tell you what's going on in this story. And by the way, if you bought a copy of God's Word, or if you have an iPad or smartphone, whatever you use, I want you to turn to John chapter 19. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I want you to turn to John chapter 19. Jesus has been hanging on a cross for 6 hours. For 6 hours, he's been the victim, not the victor. He's been the victim. He's been the victim of the sins of the entire world. So kind of put it this way. For 6 hours, Jesus has been climbing a mountain. It's called the Mount Everest of sin. It's a mountain that is made of every sin of every person that's ever lived or ever will live, and every sin that's ever been committed. He's finally reached the top of that mountain. He has now planted the flag of forgiveness on the top of the Mount Everest of sin, and he cries out these words. When he had finished, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." One word in the Greek, three words in the English. For 6 hours, Jesus has been worked over. Now his work is over. He dies with mission accomplished. And in those words, at that moment, as you're going to see next week, just before he took his last breath, he shares with us some things that we better make sure we have finished before we're finished. There are some things that we need to finish in life before we're finished with life. And I know exactly what those are because Jesus and the Word of God tells us what those things are. Three things we better make sure we're able to look back on and say, you know what? I finished that before life is finished with me. Here they are. Number one, finish your walk with God. Finish your walk with God. Now, I know something's true about everybody that's listening to me right now. It's true of me. If you were to die right now, you would die with some unfinished business. If I were to die right now, I would die with some unfinished business. I mean, we all would. As a matter of fact, if the world ended today, you would see unfinished business everywhere. I'll give you an illustration some of you are familiar with. Several years ago, I was in South Dakota, and I was doing a men's conference, and we were not far from Mount Rushmore. And I'd never seen Mount Rushmore, and so the guys that grew up, that went up there with me, we rented a car, and we drove over to Mount Rushmore. Many of you have seen the portrait there of Mount Rushmore. Well, I learned something that day, didn't know it before. The sculptor, the man who carved that out of rock, was a man by the name of Gutzon Borglum. Now, who he was really is not that big a deal, but what he didn't do is a big deal. He never finished his work. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, it looks finished. No, he meant to do all of that down to the chest, but he died at the neck. He never got there. He got to the neck, died. Life's gone. Had it in his mind, this is what I want to do. And when I learned that, I thought to myself, there are millions of people just like me that will go there and visit that monument every single year and never know they're looking at unfinished business. They'll never know they're looking at an unfinished work of art. Let me ask you a question. If you were to leave planet Earth today, what would you leave unfinished? There's only one person in history who ever died with no unfinished business, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that literally could say, I mean from A to Z, it is finished. How did he do that? From the time he was born to the time he died, he followed the path that God laid out for him to walk, and he walked it to the last step of his journey. Now, here's the good news. God has laid out a path for every one of us. From the time that you were born to the time that you die, God has a path he wants us to walk. We don't have to wonder what that path is. We know exactly what that path is. So, really? Yeah. It's in a very famous psalm. As a matter of fact, it's in the most famous psalm ever written, Psalm 23. He leads me in, say this with me, paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's exactly the path God wants all of us to walk. He said, James, I want you to walk a right path. And I want you to walk a path of righteousness. I want you to stay on that path until the path runs out. Now, let me just kind of be honest with you. If you walk God's path, it will lead you to different places. Yes, sometimes it will lead you to success. But sometimes it will lead you to suffering. Sometimes it will lead you to sacrifice. And don't let that surprise you. Because the path that Jesus walked on this earth was paved with suffering and sacrifice. I mean, think about the suffering Jesus had to undergo in his life. There was the social suffering of being rejected by his own family and his own people. There was the physical suffering of crucifixion, the cruelest form of dying ever known in the history of the world. There was the spiritual suffering of bearing the world's sin and being totally separated from His Heavenly Father. But whether the path was smooth or rocky, whether it was uphill or downhill, whether it was easy or hard, from the time that Jesus was born till the time that Jesus died, He finished walking on the path of righteousness. He always walked in the right direction. He always walked the right way. He always walked with the right heart. He always walked to the right path. He never got over on this ditch or in that ditch. He always stayed in the path of righteousness. And I say all that just to say this. I'm on the path of righteousness, been on it for 54 years. And I have to tell you, there are some things I want to make sure I finish before I die. I want to finish a faithful marriage. I've been faithful to that woman right there for 41 years. I want to die faithful to her. I want to die, if it's with my last breath, I want to die being able to say to her, I have always been faithful to you. I want to finish a fruitful ministry. Now, I want to always be the pastor of this church. You know that, and I know that. But I will never, ever get out of ministry. I always want to be doing ministry somewhere for somebody somewhere. I want to finish a fulfilled mission. No, I'm not going to accomplish everything I wanted to do. I realize that now. That doesn't matter. I just want to make sure I've accomplished everything that God wants me to do. So I just made up my mind. I'm going to stay on my path. God, You've given me a path of righteousness to walk. I'm going to finish my walk with You. Second thing. Finish the will of God. Not just your walk with God. You want to finish the will of God. Now, let me ask you a question. When you read those words where Jesus said, it is finished, what is it? I mean, what does that mean? It is finished. I mean, if I walked up to you today and I said, hey, by the way, it's finished, what would you say? Well, great, what's it? Well, what is it? What did Jesus mean? What is finished? We don't have to wonder. He tells us in two different places what He finished. In John 4:34, Jesus said this. He said, kind of put it really in an interesting way. He said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. By the way, that word finished is the same word Jesus used on the cross. Now, it's kind of interesting. Jesus said, you know, from the time I was born to this moment in my life, I've only had one thing on my plate, the will of God. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. And you know what Jesus was saying on the cross when He said, it is finished? He was saying, I have cleaned my plate. I have finished the will of God. Jesus, when He said it's finished, He said, Father, my food was to do the will of Him who sent me. This is what You sent me to do. Father, I have cleaned my plate. And when we die, here's the question. Did we do God's will or our will? Did I do with my life what I wanted to do with my life, or did I do with my life what God wanted me to do with my life? Did I really finish what He wanted me to do, or what I wanted to do, or what He wanted me to do? See, God's will for us is to do His will until our last will is read. Matter of fact, you remember the words Jesus said to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said this. He said, Father, if You're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but Yours be done. Jesus' will was to do the Father's will, no matter how high the cost, how steep the climb, how great the sacrifice, how hurtful the pain. Because there's one thing that mattered to Jesus. Nothing else mattered. What is Your will for my life? Father, what do You want me to do? I want to do what You want me to do. Well, it was God's will for Him to save His people. It was God's will for Him to die on the cross, and He did it. Now, I guarantee you this. When Jesus cried out on that cross that morning, that afternoon, when Jesus said, it is finished, I'm sure there were some that were standing around there, and they thought this was a cry of defeat. I guarantee you the Pharisees thought, you better believe You're finished. Don't have to put up with this Galilean troublemaker anymore. I guarantee you the Romans thought, yeah, You're finished. Don't have to put up with another pretender to Caesar's throne anymore. This is what happens to people like you. We know the disciples thought He was finished. They thought to themselves, well, it was a good ride and a good run, and it was fun while it lasted, and we sure will miss him. They were wrong. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Jesus didn't say, well, I gave it my best. I gave it my best shot, but I failed. Jesus said, I've done everything that God called me to do, and I have succeeded. Now, listen carefully. Nobody was put on this planet to be a failure. And it's not a prosperity deal I'm getting into. Just stay with me. Nobody was put on this planet to be a failure. You were not put on this planet to be a failure. I was not put on this planet to be a failure. However, you're under the age of 21. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Success is not defined by Wall Street. Success is not defined by Hollywood. Success is not defined even by Washington, D.C. It is God that defines success. And here's what success is. Success is finding and fulfilling the will of God for your life. That is success. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he didn't mean he was finished, because in reality, he was just getting started. Because when you finish your walk with God and you finish the will of God, then you finish the work of God. Then you finish the work of God. Now listen to this. Just before Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed a prayer in John chapter 17, the longest prayer he ever prayed. I think it's the greatest prayer in the entire Bible. And in the middle of that prayer, Jesus said this. He said, Father, talking to God, he said, I have brought you glory on earth. That's what we all want to do. We're put here to glorify God, right? So, yeah, here's how you do it. By finishing the work you gave me to do. And by the way, same word there, one word in the Greek, same word that he used on the cross. God had given Jesus a work that only Jesus could do, and Jesus did it. Only he could redeem us and pay for our sins. Only he could satisfy the wrath of God against our sin. Only he could save his people from their sin. And Jesus said, Father, I finished my walk with you. I finished your will for me, and I finished the work that you've given me to do. Now, let me tell you something about that Greek word. It's one of the greatest words in the Bible. Because it was used both in legal circles and in financial circles. Legally, here's what would happen. Very, very important word. If you committed a crime, you went before a Roman judge. If that Roman judge found you guilty, he would write out what was called a certificate of debt. And on that certificate, it was kind of your guilty document. On that certificate, on one side, he would write down what you did and why you were condemned. And then on the other side of that document, he would write down the punishment that you were given for that crime. You would then be taken to prison. And what they would do is they would lock you in prison. They would then nail that certificate of debt to the door of or the jail cell, wherever you were put into prison. So anybody that wanted to could come along anytime, and they could look on that door. They would know who you are. They would know why you're in there. They would know why you've done what you've done, and they would know exactly the punishment that you incurred for doing what you did. Now, if you did your time and you paid off your debt to society, or even better, if somebody came along and say, maybe paid the fine that you owed or pay off the debt that you owed or whatever, those same legal authorities would then take that same document, they would take it back to the judge, they would tell the judge, his debt's been paid off. He's paid his debt to society. And then the judge would stamp on that document that one word, and it literally meant paid in full. They would then take that certificate, roll it up, they would seal it, then they give it to that prisoner so anywhere he could go, he could always show and prove he was an absolute free man, that the demands of the law had been met and his debt was paid off. He was free never to be tried for that same debt again. Or if you borrowed money from a bank or you borrowed money from someone and you paid that debt off, same thing. When you paid that debt off, they would stamp that with that one Greek word and it would say paid in full. And here's what Jesus meant. When he said in is finished, he said, Father, the debt of sin that the entire world owes to you has been paid off. Every sin ever committed by every person who ever has lived, every sin committed today by every person that is living, and every sin that will ever be committed by every person that lives tomorrow, every single sin has been paid in full. Now, here's the thing. God's given all of us work that he wants us to do, and we should finish that work until he's finished with us. But Jesus finished his work. I don't know if you know much about the Old Testament tabernacle. If you don't, you don't have to know much about it, but maybe some of you do. And if you don't, it's really interesting, kind of fascinating to go back and see that, you know, the tabernacle and how it was built. We talked about it a little bit last week. When God was so concerned about the tabernacle that it be done right, he designed it. Gus, he was the architect. He said, this is so important to me. I'm not leaving this to anybody else. This is exactly how I want it built. These are the dimensions I want, and this is the furniture that I want, and this isn't where I want the furniture to go. Now, what's fascinating is when you read about the tabernacle, you read about all this furniture that's in there. There's the bronze laver, and there's the altar sacrifice, and there's the Ark of the Covenant, and there's the mercy seat. You read about all this furniture. But if you may have never thought about this, there's one piece of furniture missing in the tabernacle. There's no chair. Well, why isn't there a chair? Because the priest could never sit down. Because his work was never done. That there was always another sacrifice to make. There was always another lamb to be slain. There was always more blood to be shed. There was always somebody else that needed to be forgiven. And so priests who worked 24 hours around the clock, who worked in shifts, they never got to sit down when they were doing the work because their work was never done. Now, let me just tell you something. Priests get tired. I'm telling you right now, and I'm not complaining when I say this. When I walk, I'm usually the last person that leaves, walks off this campus when we leave. I'm usually the last person. I was the last person that walked in my car last week. Oh, can I tell you something? I'm worn out. I'm tired. I mean, I've about tripled the number of words I say in a given day. And I've got such a wonderful wife. She does me such a big favor. You know what happens? We go home. You know what she does? She goes to bed. She takes a nap. It's wonderful. It's blessing. It's such a blessing. Now, she doesn't know that I put sleeping pills in her coffee. She doesn't know that. Because when I get home, can I be honest? I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm talked out. I'm drained. Ministry takes it out of you. And so maybe for an hour, a couple hours, I don't really nap. I just want to just comatize. I don't know if that's a word or not, but you know what I'm saying. I just want to just veg out. Because I get tired. Priests get tired. But they could never sit down. Because their work was never done. But then you go over to Hebrews and you read this unbelievable passage. But when this priest, that is Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God because his work was finished. 2,000 years ago, sin nailed Jesus to a cross. And death got Jesus in a stranglehold. And sin and death looked at Jesus and said, you are finished. But Jesus took the sting out of death. And Jesus sapped the power out of the grave. And Jesus looked at sin and death and said, I'm not finished. You're finished. It is finished now and forevermore. And what Jesus did in the last minutes of his life, we can do as well. So make sure when your life is over, you can look up to a Father that loves you and called you to finish your walk and to finish his will and finish your work, and you can say, mission accomplished.
Stay tuned for a final word from Dr. Marin.
Well, on behalf of the entire staff at Touching Lives, I want to wish you a very happy Easter. This year, I have a special Easter gift prepared for everyone watching the program, and I'd like to send it to you for absolutely no charge. Hopefully, this gift will help you remember the hope you have as a believer in Jesus, all because he conquered the grave many years ago on that very first Easter morning. Call our Help Center right now. It's a free call at 1-800-413-1131 or go to our website at www.touchinglives.org to request your Easter gift, and we'll mail it to you right away. Thanks for watching. Have a very happy Easter. And every time you watch us, please pray for us. God bless you. You know, even though I'm a pastor, people don't realize I'm just a guy. Just a guy. And like a lot of guys, I like one kind of movie. You know what it is? Action. And I really like the ones where the hero keeps on going despite overwhelming odds so he can accomplish the mission. Well, for the last several weeks, we've been in a series called The Bucket List. And it's based on the statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross. This week, we learned how Jesus boldly declared he had accomplished his mission. He did so against the most overwhelming odds ever. And he did so not for his benefit, but for ours. I like to think of it this way. The greatest life who ever lived ended with the greatest death ever died that finished the greatest work ever accomplished. God has a mission for you and for me. He wants us both to accomplish our mission. He wants us both to follow his will and to finish the work that we all have he has set before us. My prayer today and every day is that God will find me faithful right up to the end and allow me to hear the only two words I care to hear, mission accomplished, when I die. That's my prayer for you. I pray you'll finish your walk with God. I pray you'll finish the will of God. And I pray you'll finish the work of God before you die. And we've only got two more episodes in this series, The Bucket List, and I hope you'll join me as we close out this series. Your prayers and support for Touching Lives means more to me than you may ever know. And because of your support, one day God can say to all of us, well done, good and faithful servant. So may God bless you and God keep you until we see each other again next week.
Touching Lives, teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need him. This program is sponsored by Touching Lives Ministries and is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.